Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Dennis Neufeld, and this is the Revelation of Jesus, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry, and this is our pre-show discussion. We are starting 1/2 hour ahead of schedule. Hang on just a second.
Doesn't matter. We may be live, but we are also members.
Turned out to be coyote, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And cat activity. And other than a thin layer of mud swirled all around over the hood. Anyway, she had, before she came home that day, she'd gone to an auto repair place that Honda uses, I guess, outsources their stuff to. They got an estimate.
Anyway, so we are. We're all up and running and going to do this a little differently today. So just kind of listen in. We are having breakfast. So if you hear chewing, that's us. Let's pull this one out over here just a little bit so that we can cut that. That's good. And just listen in as we do our pre-show talking and all that. And we will start our program on the spot at 10 a.m. All right. Well, I am interested in that Joe Rogan thing. Seems to me that there's at least one other person who understands and you remember years ago that one guy was talking about how spaceships operate, and he says, you know, you take a hose and you put it in the swimming pool and you turn it on, and the hose fires water ahead of it, which creates a low pressure area that drags it actually pulls
the vehicle and not propelled.
Right, and see, again, that would fit perfectly with what the laws that the universe seems to obey. And this is why you can go through air without, basically you're firing some kind of a aircraft or whatever through the air into a low pressure zone. So the air is getting out of the way.
He described it as taking a fresh, wet, black watermelon seed,
mm-hmm.
and pinching it with the larger end toward the back. Pinch it between your fingers, and that seed will be flying out from your fingers through the air to whatever distance. But what you have done is what happens with the a saucer-shaped flying craft is that it creates a plasma field over the skin of the craft, and the plasma field in front of the craft opens up, creating a vacuum, and the plasma field behind the craft squeezes together,
mm-hmm.
and pushes it through into that. And it has 0 point energy, so that at a, say, 17,000 miles an hour in one direction, can make a 90-degree turn without losing any speed. And if you're inside the craft, you wouldn't even know that they've made a 90-degree turn.
Right. And it's basically nullifying inertia.
Yes.
And way, way back, and I'm talking when I first discovered the joy of reading, I think I was 12 years old, and the thing that got me reading was science fiction. There's a even before Asimov and Heinlein and any of the other guys, the first practitioner of science fiction was a guy by the name of John Campbell. And he postulated in the science fiction arena that the perfect shape for a spacecraft was a teardrop, with the fat end of the teardrop going forward, so that when you started picking up speed, just what you said, the rear of the spacecraft would push you forward, because the space does have, just because there's a vacuum there doesn't mean there's not material there. And a vacuum itself is material. And so he postulated you could go well beyond the speed of light just in this thing. Now, it's fanciful. It wouldn't have worked quite that way. But look at a pumpkin seed or a watermelon seed or something like that. It's shaped like that. So maybe nature has a natural way for us to be able to exceed the speed of light. Who knows?
Well, it is our flesh and blood body that prevents us from space travel.
Right.
And I have been watching some videos where they've done experiments, and this is the military and the CIA, and I don't know that there's a whole lot of difference between military and CIA, but they have people that can do remote viewing. They gave a coordinate to a remote viewer, a very good remote viewer, who could basically do remote viewing before there was even such a thing as a remote viewing part of the military. So he followed the coordinates and described what he saw. What he didn't know, because they didn't tell him where this was, what he didn't know is that he was in the, place on Mars where the base that is in the pyramid and so on.
Mm-hmm.
He was there and he was describing what he saw, but he was also there a million years ago.
Oh, wow.
And he saw these beings that looked like, quote unquote, they weren't from Earth, like what you see artist rendition of coming out of a spacecraft or a disc shaped object, long thin leg, body, arms, three fingers, no mouth really. Very little nose, but huge eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back, he thought he was somewhere out in the desert in New Mexico or something.
By the way, Mike is up with us. He's coming down. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath to you.
And then they told him that he had actually been sent to Mars.
Hmm.
Are we on the air?
Actually, we are. We're starting at 9:30 with pre-show stuff because it's been so interesting. And also yesterday we couldn't get on the air because there was a glitch at Blog Talk Radio. So a little bit of extra time, if there is a problem, will be helpful if we have to, say, restart or, you know, put a different show up, you know, in the same amount of time we would have to start. We would have time to start it at 10 o'clock if there was a problem. So,
or try to, if needs be, move to Facebook Live and do a podcast there.
Right. We could do that. So we've decided to try to cover our bases.
And we had a really nice discussion yesterday, which took up most of
more than the time we
would have normally scheduled. But all that I have been seeing,
excuse me, choked on some coffee.
You got cayenne pepper in your coffee?
No, I don't do that quite.
There's a...
Yesterday, near where I grew up in Nebraska, they had about 10 miles away, there was massive tornadoes. And at one point, they had 4 tornadoes touch at the same time.
Wow, I saw some of the video of that. Holy cow, the destruction's amazing.
Is another word for holy cow red heifer?
Red.
Okay. Dust, ashes.
Oh, gosh. We're starting early with the puns.
Do you put ashes in your coffee, Dennis?
No, but I often make an ash of myself.
After he covers his bases.
That's right, after I cover. And there have been people who have asked me to cover my face, too, so what can I tell you?
But don't ash.
One thing I know is that with this group, we have the perfect, all of us have the perfect faces for radio.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Okay.
Anyway, I've been watching the Fly Files on YouTube, and there was a very, very interesting and informative video that they did, and it's a the podcast has there's one is a human and the other is a goldfish, and the goldfish is about the smartest goldfish that I have ever seen. Obviously, it's not a real goldfish, but that's what he looks like. In a goldfish bowl, and he, on the top of the goldfish bowl, is a tinfoil hat, or an aluminum foil hat. So that tells you a little bit about the personality of goldfish. It was called hecklefish. But this video that I watched last night was about Project Gateway, or the Gateway Project. And wow, it basically, this scientist did experiments on frequencies that you can hear, and one of the experiments that he did is the human ear can't hear any frequency below 200 hertz, 200 hertz.
But the reason that they go to 20 on the lower end and 20,000 on the upper end for most recordings or whatever is it's called headroom. You don't hear past 200, but that going from 200 to 20 gives space for vibrations that you can feel but can't hear.
Well, what he did, now I'm trying to understand, or maybe it is 20, can't hear below 20 anyway.
Well.
Yeah, it's 20. That he put headphones on, stereo headphones, and in each ear, it was the waveform was 100 hertz in each ear.
Okay.
So it sounded the same because it was the same frequency.
Mm-hmm.
But then into the left ear, he put it to 104 hertz. Now, you can't hear 4 hertz.
No, you can't.
But if you are listening in both ears at the 100 hertz that he had, you could go to any, you could do 200 hertz if you want. But when he dialed the left earphone up to 104 hertz, you hear the variance.
Mm-hmm.
So your ear can detect the variance, and he played it on the video there. The ear can detect a 4 hertz variance, even though it can't hear 4 hertz. It can hear the difference if you're listening to, say, 100 hertz or so. The reason that I'm talking about the frequency is that I tell you, you need to watch that video.
Okay.
You need to watch the video because I can't go into all the details. I understood it all, but I can't just tell you all the little details about
it. Are you going to tell them the name of the video or how to find it?
Just be patient.
Remember, this is pre-show,
Does that mean all two of us are listening?
There might be three.
Well, it will be available, though, for download or listening online.
And people can just, you know, when they
later
when they start it, they can run ahead a half hour and get the show.
So... it's not going to work because I'm not hooked up to Dennis.
Oh, do you want me to hook you up? I can hook you up.
Okay. So, Dennis, you know how to operate Apple, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me get to my and I can sit here banging on this screen to try and get it to do whatever I want it to do, and it won't change. But then if I go to if my finger just happens to brush something on the screen, I'm going to try it. Yeah. And it worked perfectly. It was very frustrating. Okay. Dennis?
Yeah.
What is your are you Frontier? 5 million? And you pass it.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Yeah, it's still working.
Need to get some.
Creamer out for Mike. Kitchen noises in the background. Not yet. I texted him.
Okay, so this is the Why, W-H-Y,
okay.
Files, F-I-L-E-S.
I'm just going to write this down. Hang on. W-H-Y-F-I-L-E-S.
And the name of the video is Underground Alien Bases Found.
All right. So and I imagine that this is Antarctica.
There is a video there on Antarctica. And I think that's the one. But I'm going to make sure. I mean, there's a lot of interesting videos on this. Channel. Actually, that wasn't it. Let's see. Here it is. This is the name of it. You can watch that other one too, but this is the name of it. The Gateway Process. The CIA's classified program or whatever. That's, and usually they have a number on these. Let me see what the number is. I don't see a video number on it. So it's the Gateway Process, the CIA's classified space and time travel system. And the goldfish is a hoot.
Sounds like that would be hilarious.
The goldfish is a hoot. The goldfish knows what's going on. And I figure if the goldfish knows what's going on, humans should definitely know what's going on. Obviously, the goldfish is an animated, I don't know if it's a hologram or what, but it has its own personality. And the other one that is, I think, extremely interesting, very important, is when Joe Rogan interviewed Tucker Carlson. So you have the number one most listened to personality interviewing the number two most listened to person.
And we're number three.
And we're not even on the scale yet, but we will be. Tucker Carlson says this, very, 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 very interesting.
Everything is working, by the way, the phone and the website.
Excellent. He says that...
And by the way, we are 3 minutes to start. Here's Dr. Don. Hang on. Good morning, Dr. Don.
I want to hear what Tucker said.
Oh, yeah, he said he wants to know what Tucker said. However, Don, we started the program at 9:30 and as a pre-show. So the website will be open at 9:15. So anytime you want to join us early, you're more than welcome to do that.
We had a great discussion yesterday here at the kitchen table. We couldn't get online, so.
What did Tucker say?
Tucker said that he knows this to be a fact. A fact. That these beings in the unidentified flying craft are not from outer space. They live here on Earth in the spirit dimension. And they are malevolent. And some might be benevolent, but most of them are malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joe Rogan, of course, his eyes went wide and his mouth dropped open. And that's kind of, strange for Joe Rogan. But he really? What do you mean by that? So in essence, what it kind of boiled down to was, yeah, they're probably demons and devil and what have you, yeah. And they don't have our good welfare in mind.
Okay, we have 1 minute to start.
And you can find that interview on YouTube. If you search Joe Rogan, you'll see Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson interview.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and we're just going to be
we're going to do the introduction.
We're going to do the introduction here in about 30 seconds. So, Don, I'll put you on mute. And by the way, Don, I'm going to leave you off mute. Do you know how to mute your own phone?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to leave you up here, but mute your phone when you're done talking. And if you want to come on the air, just unmute and say you want to. Yeah, anywhere near, just say what you want to say. All right, here we go.
Very good.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Welcome all to another program sponsored by Spirit of Truth Ministry. This program today is called The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, and we are delighted to have you here with us today and join us in this effort to learn the truth. We encourage you to get a piece of paper out and your Bible because you will need them as we go forward. Today we have started the program at our usual time, however. We are going to be on the air starting at 9:30 each day from now on, only so you can hear pre-show talk. It's
not each day, but each time.
Each time we do a program on Friday and on Saturday, you will hear the half hour ahead of time because yesterday's program was not able to be put on the air. There was a glitch at Blog Talk Radio, and unfortunately that has happened way too often. However, we will allow you to join us and have you and encourage you to join us at 9:30 because there's lots of stuff that generally doesn't make it into the program but is still interesting, and we would think that you might like to join us for that. We also want to remind you that we have a website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find lots of good writing by Rick Sterling and a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. Also, we have a secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SCM. There you will find loads and loads of good information as well. Our Facebook page is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we love you and we know you love us, and we know that you are with us here with your spirit. Thank you, Father, thank you for crying kitty cats. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to go forward in our process of learning the truth to the place where we actually know that we have entered the kingdom of God. And I thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to go over here to greet Dr. Don here. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. How are you doing? Dr. Don?
I'm fiddling with my mute. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. You bet.
Okay. Okay.
Give your greetings.
So it's a gorgeous day, and I'm looking forward to a good study. Rumor has it there's a lot of things going on out there. Chuckle, chuckle.
It's more than rumor.
So bring us up to date on what you can tell us.
You betcha.
So back to you.
And sorry, Larry, I couldn't find your microphone. I don't know where I left it because I took everything out of the case to take it back up to Denise and Bob's last weekend. I might have left it there, actually. But good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Boy, boy, Larry.
There you go.
Yeah, Larry's feeling good today.
He is. And good morning, Rick. It's nice.
He doesn't need any stinking mic.
That's right. He can just yell and everybody will hear it across
the
world.
Mic drop.
There was a mic drop there. That's right. All right.
Mike's not here yet.
He'll be here.
Oh, yes, he is. He just
showed up.
Welcome, everyone. Sorry that We were unable to get Blog Talk Radio to work yesterday. There was a glitch and no program. But the three of us, Dennis, Larry, myself, I had a little discussion with them, and we covered a very interesting topic, which I considered that probably needed to be revisited, because there were probably some, most likely some elements about it that needed some clarification, and that was Revelation 12. I first, though, want to recommend two videos. If you have YouTube, the first video is on the Why, W-H-Y, Files, F-I-L-E-S, and it is, what's the name of that video, Dennis?
Pardon?
What's the name of that video? You wrote it down, I think.
Gateway something.
It is, the video is, hang on here.
Project Gateway or Gateway Project?
It is the Why Files, the Gateway Process.
Process, okay, process. Gateway Process. And it's the scientist that did the work with frequencies, unknowing to him, and I think anybody else, proved my hypothesis of how is God. And I don't mean just suggests that I might be right, but actually proved my hypothesis without knowing that he was proving my hypothesis. And a lot of very interesting things about frequency, how there's a certain frequency that, because of the close proximity of the oscillating waves, actually flips a switch or something in your brain, and it releases your mind into the side of your body, which also would prove that when we die, our soul leaves our body and goes back to the One. Now, he says the One. He doesn't say it's God, but it is. And what we know about that is that we fall asleep in death, our mind leaves our body and is maintained by God in some form of magnetic storage. And at the resurrection, he puts the consciousness, our mind, soul, whatever definition you want to give it, into the body that he has made for our soul. And the body looks just like we did when we died. Well, not, most people would not want to look like what they did when they died, but let's say like they did when they were about 25 or so. And then the Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson interview, that's the other one. And the way you can find that on YouTube is if you go to the search window, there's a little magnifying glass shaped icon that you can click on. And what you do is you type in That's not somebody dying, okay?
Yes, I'm making waffle for Mike, and the air is coming out of the batter.
It's a sick cat. Yeah.
Yeah. All kinds of interesting things going on here, people.
Welcome to the X-Files.
Well,
if we're really going to do that, then I'll do this. Okay, there we go.
Oh, yes. Okay, Dennis, thank you. We know you're a talented individual.
Is there a scientific explanation for that, like the other stuff?
Yeah, well, that's just humming and whistling at the same time.
Okay. Twilight Zone. So you go to the search window. And you type,
this is what you don't normally get. I like this.
Type in Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson, and you hit the little magnifying glass shaped icon, and it will take you to that interview. And what you have there is the number one most listened to podcaster interviewing the number two most listened to podcaster.
Okay, which one is which?
And we are not even on the grid. So, you know, but...
Especially after today.
And Tucker Carlson really... blew Joe Rogan's mind, and I didn't think that was possible, but it really, I mean, Joe Rogan kept his cool, but I could tell that the wheels were spinning, and he thought, wow, I've never heard this before. This can't possibly be true.
Sounds like the Wheel of Fortune.
And believe me, Joe Rogan has heard a lot of, I'll just say crap. And so he's not a stranger to off the wall things, kind of, you know, a la what Chuck Norrie, was it?
Oh.
Chuck and what's his name?
Savage?
No. The
overnight show.
Yeah.
Go ahead, date yourself. No.
Art Bell, and George Norrie. Anyway, Tucker Carlson said that the information that he has received from those who are in the intelligence community. I wouldn't really call them whistleblowers, because basically all they're doing is they're telling Tucker Carlson, but they're not, you know, going public with this. That the beings that are in these unidentified flying craft are not flesh and blood human, and they are not from outside this earth. In fact, they live here, and they've been living here for a very, very, very long time. And again, I say, what have I been talking about? Joe Rogan asked, are you saying that it could be the devil or demons or something like that? And Tucker Carlson was, yeah. Very well, could be. And he did say something about a war. So what I'm attempting to convey to you is what I have been saying all along is now being confirmed by people who don't really have a religion or a church affiliation. Some of them may. Most of them don't. And I've noticed from my own experience, and Dennis can verify this, that what I have found is that those who are most open to listening to what I've been talking about and discussing it, because they really want to know, are not atheists, but agnostics, and particularly agnostics who no longer, or who were Christian, but no longer affiliate with any Christian church. So they believe there's a God, but they don't believe the God is Christian. And I agree with them. And that typically brings us into a discussion.
Keeps our ratings down.
Well, you mean you're not a Christian? Well, Christian, that's Christ. Christ is the Christian. No. Yeah, Christ might be, but the Son of God is not. Christ, the word Christos is where Christ comes from, the word. And Christos just means anointed. It's the same word that in Hebrew is Messiah. So you can say you believe in the Messiah, and you're not Jewish. Of course, the Jews primarily don't believe in the Messiah. That is what the Christians believe in, the Christ. If it isn't the truth, it's a lie. There is no neutral ground. Well, I don't believe anything. If you don't believe anything, you must be brain dead, because you have to believe in something. You have to believe something. You have to believe that if you go to the grocery store, you'll find groceries. If you go to a car dealership, you'll find cars. If you go to a church, you'll find someone asking for money.
There you go.
What you won't find at church is the truth. Period. I have found more truth outside of the church than when I was in the church. And believe me, I grew up in the church. As I told you, my dad was a pastor for 29 years. And then because he was somewhat of a free thinker, which is probably where I got it from. He wasn't somewhat. He was a free thinker. They fired him. Yeah.
More than once?
More than once, but the same guy. The same head honcho fired him twice. And I'm not going to go into that. Anyway... if you do not, to finding the truth, learn the truth, practice the truth, worship the truth, live the truth, you will never enter the kingdom of God. But I do have good news for you.
If you prefer the lies, that's fine. When the Son of God returns, he's not going to put you to death. Is that encouraging? Well, you say, well, great, then I don't have to learn the truth. Or do you say, what on earth are you talking about, and where do you get that? Well, I get it in the Bible. I get it in Revelation. And the reason, and you will not hear this from anyone else, I am certain. What you're going to hear from others is that we are going to go through a great tribulation where everybody is going to have to choose sides, and you're either on the side of God and truth, or you're on the side of the beast, Satan, and lies. And then Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, comes in the clouds and wipes out everyone, every human, who does not have his seal on their forehead. I can read that in the Bible too. And the ones who receive the mark of the beast will experience a sequence of punishments called the bowls of wrath. There are six of them. The seventh bowl of wrath is the one where the coming in the clouds occurs. There are probably some people thinking right now, some dreamers and prophesiers, that we are about ready to go into World War III. You're going to hear that we're going into World War III from people who don't even profess to believe in God. They just see what's happening in the world. They see the armies gathering, threatening together, rattling their sabers, priming their nuclear weapons. And all someone has to do, I think of that movie. Lord of the Rings. Dennis, you know that movie, Lord of the Rings, the second book in the trilogy where the Saruman's army, it's Sauron, by Saruman put it all together, and they are standing outside of Helm's Deep.
This is the Twin Towers is the name of the movie.
Yes, and the book.
And the book.
And so the Rohirrim, or Rohan, are basically
that's the army of Rohan. Right.
Are basically down to old men and young boys. And they're going to try and hold off an army of orcs led by Orkai. And this old man has a bow and arrow, and they have their arrows drawn, and they're aiming at this 10,000 orc army. And Isildur's heir is going to give the order to fire their arrows. But before he can give the order, the poor old gentleman loses his grip on the string, and the arrow flies, the arrow flies from his bow and strikes one of the orc in the neck, right above his chest armor and just below his face armor. And he falls dead. And the battle starts. We're there. All someone has to do is push a button. The thought occurred to me, what if the button is pushed, but not by a human? Would Satan be allowed to push the button and fire off a nuke? Or Satan, I'm sure, could push all the buttons so that we would have a nuclear holocaust, and he would be the victor because he would manage to kill everybody on Earth. Oh, of course, he would probably let his inner circle of humans know in time so that they could run to their hidey holes underground and survive the nuclear holocaust. Now, I don't think that's going to happen because I don't think that God would allow Satan to do that. I'll tell you, if God would have allowed Satan to do that, he would have done it long before this. But what I see going on is I see desperation in the world of darkness, ruled by the Dark Lord. His inner core. I see desperation. I see it because they are losing and have probably already lost, but they're going to go down fighting. They're not going to raise the white flag of surrender because they know there is no mercy for them on the other side of this. So what do I hear? I hear that France is vacillating, but they're letting it be known that they're not adverse to sending troops into Ukraine to fight on the side of the Ukrainians against the Russians. And the U.S. has troops over there, over in the area where they could go in, you know, as advisors, and they have to carry a weapon and so on, you know, how that is. The U.S. is flying their Poseidon plane in the over the Black Sea, that it's a Navy plane, and what it does is it maps out an area and directs missile strikes on enemy targets. And being that it's flying back and forth in the Black Sea, about 200 miles outside of Crimea, what do you think it's doing there? Counting the fish in the Black Sea or setting up targets for missiles to hit? They really want to destroy that bridge from mainland Russia to Crimea. They really do. They've been trying to destroy that bridge for a long time, just like they did the pipeline, you know. Dennis, you looked like you wanted to say something.
I'll save it.
Who destroyed that pipeline?
Well, I tell you how you do that.
Dennis.
I'll tell you how you figure that one out is who benefited. Because unless you get a benefit from it, costs too much money to destroy the pipeline.
Well, and also it could not have been Russia, because Russia was supplying gasoline through that pipeline to Northern Europe, and they were getting paid big bucks for it. Why would they cut off their nose to spite their face?
Well, here's the thing, Dennis. There was no, and it was a natural gas pipeline.
Right, natural
there was
gas.
No natural gas flowing through that pipeline. You know why? Germany had the valve shut.
Right.
They had never started it flowing. They had the valve shut.
And
so
they could have, and they were suffering a blazing winter,
yeah.
And they could have opened it and had everybody back to normal, including industry, in a matter of days.
But you see, desperate people do desperate things. I just heard this last week that the sock puppet, you know who the sock puppet is. He portends to be the president. I said portends to be the president. And he said that, well, he didn't say it. His mouthpiece said it. That he may have to declare a climate emergency. And if he does declare the climate emergency, that he will basically suspend the Constitution, not that that's already been done, but for all intents and purposes, this country will be under the rulership of a dictator who's working on behalf of the WEF and the WHO and the United Nations. Desperate people, desperate organizations do desperate things. The devil is desperate. Why is the devil desperate? He is the most powerful created being to ever have been created, past or present. Why is the devil desperate? I read from Isaiah chapter 14, the song about the devil. It names him there, Lucifer, the morning star, son of the dawn. How he deceived the nations, prostrated them before him. And wait till they all see you falling, falling, falling into the pit. I've talked about the two realities that God has always offered to those who he is preparing for service.
By the way, that text that you quoted was from Isaiah 14, starting with verse 12.
And those who would participate in the learning process that God has designed to prepare his kingdom for service are given certain assurances And God is trustworthy. God is always trustworthy, and he looks for the same trustworthiness in the people of his kingdom. God always tells the truth, and he never misleads. He never promises what he is unable to deliver. I have the one key main statement made by the Son of God when he was here on earth. And if you forget every text in the Bible, don't forget this one, because this is the one, this is the one that I know, that I can remember, that I can quote from memory, because it is a statement of fact, and it is a statement that came from the mouth of the Son of God. And the Son of God said that everything that he came here to say came from his Father. He didn't tell us anything that he did not receive from his Father. And it's Matthew 17, verse 11. After asking the Son of God the question, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? True, he replied, Elijah is to come to see that everything is once more as it should be. And your translation may say, and will restore all things. That is a statement of fact. Now, the prophet Malachi made a prophecy about coming of Elijah. The coming of the Elijah-type prophet would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So my question is, Dennis, since you came back, I'll ask you the question. Mike, you can answer it too if you know it. When the Son of God came here to earth, would you call that the great and terrible day of the Lord?
No.
What would you call the great and terrible day of the Lord?
Well, it would have to be something like Armageddon.
Like judgment, right?
Like judgment, right.
Now, yes, he did. He had made a judgment, right? Or had he made a judgment?
Well, he made it. Hang on. Yes, he made a judgment on the leadership of the Jews. He said, I have taken the kingdom away from you.
Did he make the judgment, or did they make the judgment?
Oh, no, they made the judgment all by themselves.
And he said, fine,
and
I agree.
And he confirmed it, yeah.
Fine,
exactly.
I agree. I'm taking the kingdom away from you. Matthew, now, that was a terrible day, wasn't it?
Matthew 21:43. Well, no, but see, they didn't agree with that at all. They were saying, you can't do that to us.
You're not the king.
You're not the king, exactly, except that he was.
You see, they felt that if they didn't accept him as their Messiah, then he wasn't the Messiah. He couldn't be the Messiah because they didn't give him their stamp of approval.
Was there a judgment type of blood?
Well, judgment had already been passed. That was the punishment stage. That was, you know, when your heart is hard and truth finds no home there, it's time. That your life is required of you right now.
And there were only eight people in the ark. However, the text says everyone was evil in their hearts except for one person, and that was Noah.
Now, was John the Baptist the Elijah who was prophesied by Malachi?
Well, he said he wasn't.
He said he wasn't.
However, he was. He just didn't recognize it.
Well, true.
Okay.
But when speaking about John the Baptist, what did the Messiah say?
He says, he is the, everyone
if
who gets in the kingdom.
You will, are willing to
believe it.
Accept
yeah,
it.
Yeah, to accept it. And he even said that the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than John the Baptist.
Now, did Malachi prophesy about an Elijah at the end of time?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
And, but did Malachi know that he was prophesying about an Elijah that wouldn't even be in Israel, wouldn't be an Israelite?
No.
Did he know that?
No, he did not know that.
Because see, he was prophesying about the temple and the tithe and the priests and the offerings and all of that. And God had given him that information. But when asked about why the scribes say, you can't be the Messiah because Elijah hasn't come. And we can't have the Messiah before Elijah comes. What did he say? What did the Son of God say to his disciples as they started down the mountain? That's verse 9, I believe.
And that's Matthew
17. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus gave them this order. Did he make a request? Did he say, you know, look, don't say anything about this?
No, this was a command order. It was an order in a command voice.
Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Risen from the dead? What on earth is he talking about? He keeps speaking in riddles and we can't understand. Risen from the dead? Nobody rises from the dead. Yes, Dennis, you're poised to...
Nobody had risen from the dead yet. He raised Lazarus.
So what vision did they see that he didn't want them to say anything about?
That Elijah and, was it Moses?
Yeah.
Appeared, they appeared, Jesus was transfigured, and again, in order for Jesus to be able to talk to them, he had to be transfigured into a spiritual being for that moment, because spiritual beings cannot talk to human beings directly. And so the three of them were chatting there, and then Peter, of course, opened his mouth when Jesus allowed him to and said, let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And, you know, Jesus said, no, that wouldn't be a good idea. In fact, as a matter of fact, don't tell anybody what you saw.
Was the Father there at the same time?
I think so.
Well, I'm sure it was his voice that boomed, and this is my son, listen to him.
And by the way, that's different than what he said to said around John the Baptist. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is where he said, listen to him.
How many of you listen to him? How many Christians listen to him?
Well, Rick, they listen to a voice who says that he came from God. And that voice also said, I didn't get any of this information from man.
Now, why do you think it was Moses and Elijah that the disciples could see there speaking with their teacher? Is there anything interesting about Moses, Elijah, the Son of God, and God up in the heavens, here in a cloud, flying saucer? Flying saucers that we see out and around here. I've never seen one, but I've seen pictures of them. They sometimes have a cloud around them because they do have a plasma field around them, and sometimes the moisture condenses in that plasma field. So it could look like a cloud. Probably is a cloud. Anyway, he's up here. The disciples can't see him. They can only hear him. And you have Moses, Elijah, and the Son of God. Do you know what text that brings to mind? It brings this one to mind. Matthew 7. Not the least stroke of the pen or the smallest mark shall depart from the law until all is accomplished. I have not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to complete them.
Matthew 5:17.
5:17. So Moses, did he write anything?
He wrote down the law that God gave him. This was not his law. This was God's law that he transcribed.
First five books of the Bible called the law, right?
Right.
What was Elijah?
He was a prophet.
Oh, he was
in Israel.
Yeah. He was a prophet in Israel. So you have a representative, the one who wrote the law, and you have a prophet. He didn't write anything, although he is written in the prophets. And then you have the Son of God. What do you have?
The trilogy.
The law, the prophets, and the testimony of the Son of God. And they are all there together under whom?
God.
God the Father.
Question. Was Paul there?
No.
And so when Paul says, I didn't get any of my gospel from any man. I only got it from God. That is outside of the parameters that God established.
Now, when we read about that here in Matthew 17, and does God say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased? Listen to him. Oh, and by the way, there's another guy coming later on, and you listen to him too.
Nope, they did not. God didn't say that. In fact, in John 17, he even says to the effect that not only am I giving this word to my own disciples and having them believe it, but also the people who believe in me through their word. Whose word? The people, the disciples that were with him while he was here on earth. And who were they?
And what did the Son of God tell his disciples just before he left them, which is in Matthew 28?
Matthew 28. That's the Great Commission.
The last verse, the last verse. Go to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I
commanded
it.
That is Matthew 28:20.
So did he say, go to the nation of Israel and teach them to obey everything I commanded you?
No. And
what does Paul say? What do Christians say about the disciples and their ministry?
They are now secondary because someone else came along with a different gospel.
Well, it's exactly what it says in the New Testament according to
Paul
in Acts. They came to an agreement. Paul and Peter, they came to agreement. Paul and James, what I want them, they came to an agreement that the disciples would work with the Jews and Paul would work with the Gentiles. They all agreed because Paul had been called as the apostle to the Gentiles.
Now, a comment about this verse. Matthew 28:18, when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he says the following thing to a group of people who were there. And Paul was not in that group. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Paul's gospel is 180 degrees away from that.
Totally contradicts
what
the
Jesus
testimony
said
of the Son of God.
Right there.
And so what does it say?
What
does it say about the kingdom of God in Revelation 12:17?
And the dragon was angry with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring, those that do two things, keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, not the testimony of anyone who simply claims that they are from Jesus.
Yeah, of anyone else. Anyone else. So anyone else who came after the Son of God went back into the heavens, who came and said that God had called them for a special purpose to take a message to a special group of people, in Paul's case, the Gentiles, and that message contradicts the testimony of the Son of God, he's a liar. He's not just a liar. He's a blaspheming liar because he is lying in the name of the Holy Spirit.
And that, by the way, is the unpardonable sin. If you blame what you believe on, if you say that what you believe is from the Holy Spirit and it's a lie, you are claiming that the Holy Spirit gave you that lie. And that's blasphemy.
Yeah, and Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, you know? And they all vary, the Spirit, will hit you with a present, a gift, and man, you can take off into another world sometimes. Not anything like the Son of God in his ministry at all. And what do you think Paul's purpose was? Paul was called by the devil to plant seeds that are lies, words that are lies.
Wheat and weeds.
How did the words of Paul get in the Bible then? Because I've had people tell me that God protects his word and the Bible is his word. I look all through the Bible, and I can't find where God guaranteed that the Bible is his word from cover to cover, including the cover.
Jesus guaranteed the words of God through his disciples. He guaranteed that, but he didn't guarantee just anyone who claimed to have been of God.
Here's the bottom line. Satan knows he's lost. Satan is going down. But the only victory that Satan will have is the victory of those who allow him to speak for them, for their salvation. Those who believe his lies are the ones he will claim as his victory. Do you want to give Satan his victory? I don't think any of you would knowingly say, yeah, I think Satan deserves to win this thing. So I'm 100% with Satan. You know, it's your choice.
There are even Christians that believe that Satan will be saved because God's grace covers everyone. And I know a person who believes that personally.
Well, here's the thing. When the Son of God returns, unless you are the trustworthy and wise enough servant, you won't see him. Unless you're one of the fellow servants of the trustworthy and wise enough servant, you won't see him when he comes. You may see him a little later on, but you won't see him when he comes. If you say, but wait a minute, he said, don't go to this place or that place. If they say he's out in the desert or if he's in some secret room or something, don't go. Because when the Son of God returns, every eye will see him. But you know, he also says, truly, I tell you, it's good for the person, the one who's awake, when I come like a thief, so that I don't find him asleep. And in Revelation 16, the sixth bowl of wrath, right in there, it says, behold, this is how it will be. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who has kept his clothes with him and will not be found naked and ashamed. The head of the house, the trustworthy and wise enough servant, is the one who sees the Son of God come as a thief in the night. We talked about Elijah today. We are in the days of Elijah.
Thank you all for joining us today, and thank you for being patient with us as far as our getting on the air is concerned, and we're sorry about yesterday. We will be here next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. However, you can join us at 9:30 if you want to hear our pre-show discussions, and also a week from today for the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling at 10 a.m. as well, and at 9:30. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you all next time. So long for now.